Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Matthew 21, verse 33 to 43. I want us to get there. It's quite a long passage of scripture, but that is going to be our opening scripture. My presentation is going to be this way. I'll do a quick introduction, and then we are going to zoom into what we have for today. So Matthew 21, 33 to 43 says, "Here another parable. There was a certain landowner," please underline owner, "who planted a vineyard and set hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it," underline leased it, "to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, killed one, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, 'This is the heir, come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance.'" Underline his inheritance. "So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner," you may underline owner "of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers?" They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard," underline lease, "his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruit in their season." Note the fruit in their season. "Jesus said to them, 'Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it." Therefore, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. Hallelujah. In this beautiful parable, Jesus Christ tells us a nice story about a certain man who had a vineyard. A vineyard is a garden where you plant vines inside, you know. So it's a vineyard, and he says that he leased it or rented it out to some people. Those people couldn't bring him the fruit that he expected. So he ultimately gave the vineyard to other farmers, okay, or vine dressers who were going to give him the fruit of the vine in its time. And Jesus ended by saying that similarly, the kingdom of God will be taken away from people who are not bearing its fruit and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. That should tell us something, that the kingdom of God is this vineyard, is this garden of vines, okay? And it should also tell us that the kingdom of God has got some fruits which everybody who belongs to the kingdom must bear. Anybody who is operating and working in the kingdom system must bear these fruits. If you don't bear them, it means that you are not really operating in the kingdom of God. All right? You can be a believer operating elsewhere other than the kingdom of God in which you are, or other than the kingdom system in which you should operate and you should live in. Hallelujah. So that is a very important thing we need to bear in mind, that the kingdom of God has got some fruit that must be seen. Okay. And although generally this parable is about the Jewish people refusing the kingdom message of Jesus and Jesus Christ turning unto the Gentile nations to give them the kingdom of God, I want us to know that there are various lessons in it we can extract for our benefit. First of all, I want us to know that the kingdom of God has been rented out. The kingdom of God has an owner. I made you to underline owner. The owner is God. And then he rented out his kingdom. It's like you have planted a garden and then you rent out the garden. And the Bible says that the owner went into a far country. He's away, so to speak, from the garden. Okay. Now, the kingdom of God has been rented out to us humans, you know. And what tenants should do is to ensure that what the owner wants is what is done in his house. Not so. If you build a house and you lease it or you rent out the house, you expect that the tenant will abide by certain conditions that you give the tenant. That this is a domestic property. I don't want you to use it to become a factory or industrialize it. I don't want you to add to the form of this building. If you want to do anything major, bring my attention to it. Seek my permission before you do it. That is what is expected of tenant. Okay. Now, because the kingdom of God has been leased out, rented out to us, what we have to do, the least we can do as tenants, is to ensure that what the owner of the kingdom likes is what we do. Hallelujah. If he wants something, we must produce that thing for the owner. And that is the least that we can do. So understand that you are a tenant of the kingdom. And a tenant has got some responsibilities. The responsibility is to ensure that the interest of the owner is paramount. What the owner wants is what you do. Now, this is important because sometimes we become believers and then we want to do what we like. We forget that somebody bought us, somebody owns us, and somebody plays us where we are. But unfortunately, we do not seek out the conditions of the tenancy and live by it. We are in his house, but we are doing our own things, you know. But that is not good enough. We have to seek the interest of the owner. The other thing I want to quickly say before we move on is that, you see, when somebody rents something to you and the person travels to a far country, if you don't take care, you will develop an ownership spirit. You will think that the property is yours because the person maybe has given you the house and he has traveled somewhere. He's in Sweden for about 20 years, 30 years, 70 years. He has not come before to even take a look at his thing. You know what can happen to you, the tenant? You can develop an ownership spirit. In fact, people will start calling you the owner because they wouldn't have seen anybody coming around and showing that he is the owner or she is the owner. So if you don't take care, you can develop an ownership spirit. An ownership spirit is a religious spirit. It's a bad spirit for tenants to have. Now, the fact that God in Christ has gone far, he is in the heavenly kingdom and has given his kingdom to us, tenants here on this earth, does not mean that we should develop an ownership spirit. Because an ownership spirit will want you to kill people. Ownership spirit will want you to kill, compete with people. You know, anytime somebody wants to own something, he looks at people who are rivals to him and he wants to kill him. So in the parable, Jesus said that when the owner of the vineyard sent his servants to come and make demand for the fruit, they killed, they beat the servant, they stoned them, they killed them. He sent more. They killed all of them. They maltreated them. He sent his son. He said, this is the heir. All right? Let us kill him so that the inheritance will be ours. So that we maintain ownership of this environment. That is what mankind has done. God has brought his kingdom on earth, but we want to maintain ownership of his kingdom. We want to have it. We want to have our own way. We want to do it in our own style, using our own system. All right? The human system, which is very close to God's kingdom system, which we call the religious system or arrangement or way of going about things. It is wonderful in our sight, but it doesn't please the owner of the vineyard, the owner of the kingdom system, who is God. So never try to own anything. It's a religious spirit to try to own anything. When you try to own something, you would tend to become very overbearing. You tend to become competitive. You tend to maybe kill, minimize all those who have interest. You sidestep people, you will hurt people and all that in order to keep that thing for yourself. We can see it in the parable. They killed in order to keep the thing for themselves. When Jesus came on earth, you know, who was the son to come and demand the fruit? They killed him. In order what? In order that they would, mankind would maintain his own human arrangement on earth. Not the kingdom system. No. Let's kill him so that we will own the thing. But this earth, our life is owned by somebody. He may be in a far country, but a time will come, he will show that this is mine. It's not the devil, neither is it yours. I expect my kingdom in heaven to be the same on this earth, my kingdom system to be pursued by the tenants that I have leased out my arrangement, my garden of vines, my kingdom system onto. Okay, let's move to the book of Revelations chapter 22 and then verse 1 and 2. Revelations chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was a tree of life, underlying the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. And note 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. So we get a picture of a garden, all right? And this garden has got trees that yield its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. It was for the leaves alone was for the restoration of nations. Now, this is the kingdom garden, of course, you know, which has trees that every month bears fruit. Okay. We know it's a kingdom garden because the thing started from the throne of God, and there were streets and there were trees, 12 of them that yield fruit in a seed. 12 is the number of the kingdom. So we know that by the throne and the number 12 is talking about a kingdom garden. Kingdom garden that is to minister to the damages on it, minister to the spoilage, the things which are spoiled out of the way, all right? The leaves are to bring restoration to the earth. The leaves of the tree of life, the Bible says, is to bring what? Restoration or healing to the nations. But I just want us to know that it bears 12 fruits. And one fruit is the fruit of kingdom joy. Can we all say kingdom joy? One fruit of the kingdom is the fruit of kingdom joy. I want us to understand that in the Bible, the first time our Lord Jesus started using the word fruit, he used it regarding character. All right? It's very clear. The first time he said in Matthew chapter 7 that you will know them by their fruit, he wasn't talking about their works, W-O-R-K-S. He wasn't talking about by their words, W-O-R-D-S. He was talking about by their character. In fact, the first person who started to preach the kingdom message was John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3. And the first time he used the word fruit, John the Baptist also used the word fruit, was concerning character. When he said that, bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. He was saying that, let your character show that you have repented. So when we talk about fruit of the kingdom, we are not talking about works, W-O-R-K-S, performances, you know, physical that you do. We are not talking about works that you say. We are talking about a character that you must have that shows that you are operating in the kingdom system. So I want us to look at one character, one sign, one fruit of functioning in God's system, functioning in the kingdom vineyard. One fruit called kingdom joy. Kingdom joy is very important for us to understand, because you see, although you may have it as a believer, or you have it, I should say, as a believer, you will think you don't have it. Sometimes you can have something and think you don't have it because you don't know about it. But when you get to know about it, then you begin to cherish what you had, you know, which you overlooked. Because sometimes you can have something, and because you don't know about what you have and the value of what you have, you can put your own thing down and then go after somebody else's. You see, so if you are a believer, although you have kingdom joy in you, you may not know its essence, you may not know its potency, you may not value it, you may not know actually what it is in the kingdom of God. And because of that, you put it aside, you disregard it, minimize it, and then you look at unbelievers and you think that, well, they have something. And you try to convert the happiness that they have or the joy that they have. But yours is different as a believer. You have kingdom joy.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles, and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar, and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. First of all, I want to say to you that kingdom joy is joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Joy in the Holy Spirit is kingdom joy. The book of Romans chapter 14, and then verse 17 tells us about kingdom joy. It says that for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not joy that comes about when you eat. Because, ladies and gentlemen, when you eat food, you become happy. Not so. When you are hungry, you are sad. In fact, when you are hungry, you are angry. You easily get irritated. But Ecclesiastes says that when you eat, then joy comes. And you begin to throw your legs. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not eating jollof. It's not drinking your best drink. It's not the joy that comes from that. It is what? The joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. And there is a difference. You see, when the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, this is what it is saying. It is saying that the kingdom of God, or if you like, in our context, kingdom joy, doesn't come from outside, inside. Because food is something outside that we put inside. There is no food inside you. But you take it from outside and you put it in your mouth and you swallow it into your stomach and it goes inside. All right? Now, he says that the kingdom of God is not something from outside, inside, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy is just talking about something inside you that comes out. Righteousness is first put by God inside you and it must come out. Peace inside you, it must show. Joy inside you, it must show. So kingdom joy is joy from inside out. It's not joy from outside in. Hallelujah. You see, that is why I was telling you that you have it as a believer, but you can disregard it and look at food and drinking and look at the externalities of your life in order to develop joy. But that is religious joy. Religion is always outside. Jesus was always decrying, you people, you are hypocrites and all that. Woe unto you, because you wash the outside, but the inside is not correct. Because that's what religion is. It has a nice outside, nice appeal, but the inside is, like he said about the Pharisees and all that, dead men's bones. But ours, kingdom joy, is from inside and then it comes outside. So, in the book of Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 20, Jesus Christ teaches us something, that kingdom joy is not as a result of breakthrough or your excellent performances or miracles. It is not joy that you get as a result of miracles. You see, because that thing happens outside you. This is the story. They went out casting out demons, 70 disciples. And then when they came, they were happy. And they were saying that even the demons were subject to us in your name. Jesus said, in this rejoice not, that the devils are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. That's powerful. Because then he is telling us that your joy should not come from the miracles and the breakthroughs that you see with your eyes. In this rejoice not, that the demons are subject to you, but it should be something that comes as a result of your position with God, that your names are written in heaven. It's something that must come from inside out. Hallelujah. Over there, Jesus was teaching about what? Kingdom joy. Kingdom joy is what Jesus Christ referred to in the book of John chapter 16, verse 33. Let's turn to that place. John chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus said that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace. In the world you will have troubles or tribulation, but be of good cheer. Underline good cheer. I have overcome the world. Kingdom joy is good cheer. Religious joy is bad cheer. You know, cheer means happy, okay, excited. But there is a good cheer and there is bad cheer. Jesus said that my words will bring you what? Good cheer. My performance will bring you what? Good cheer. He says that, look, I have overcome the world, so you have what? Good cheer, or have good cheer because of what? My performance for you. Hallelujah. So kingdom joy is joy that is good, you know, because there is some joy that is bad. It is joy, all right, but it is not, it has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with something springing from the inside of you. You see, religious joy is the one that you look at your cars, you look at your building, you look at your job, you look at your children, you look at money in your bank account and all that, and then you are happy and you dance and you praise God in church, you know, not because of the Holy Ghost. You understand that? I'll explain that to you as we get along. But because of what? Because of miracles outside of you. Because of maybe a breakthrough God gave you. Because of what? Maybe demons that you bound and they were bound and things like that. But Jesus says that, no. I want you to have my joy. Jesus himself was a joyful person. The Bible says that because he loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. Jesus, his fellows, first of all, are all human beings. He came just like you and I. He is no special, so to speak, than you and I. He took our place. He is 100% human being. That is what I want to say. Humans are his fellows. The apostles, you can say they are his fellows on this earth, you know. But the Bible says that because he loved righteousness, God anointed him with the oil of gladness or joy above his other human beings. Now, sometimes you read the Bible, you think that Jesus was a very serious person. He doesn't laugh. He is always somewhere, you know. Not cognizant of what is around him. He lives somewhere in the spirit and he doesn't have any joy. Very, very serious. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that God has anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness. You want to look at it? Look at the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8 to 9. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8 to 9 teaches us that Jesus Christ himself had kingdom joy. That is the joy that he gave to the apostles. He said that my joy I give unto you. You know, says that I'm saying these things unto you that you will have my joy. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8 and then 9? You have loved righteousness. Let's pick it from 8. But to the Son or to Jesus, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness, hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you. That's referring to Jesus. Has anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness more than your companions. This one is talking about kingdom joy. Because he gave us a foundation that the foundation of God's throne is what? The scepter of God's throne is what? Righteousness. Is a scepter of his kingdom. And then he went on to explain the joy that Jesus had because he was righteous. Because he loved righteousness. Like you and I, believers, we have got kingdom joy. Hallelujah. But Jesus' one, as is described here, is above his fellows. So Jesus was not a morose guy walking around not laughing. You look at his eyes, they are always dull. And he has a faraway look in his eyes. No, he wasn't like that. Jesus, oh hallelujah. Jesus was anointed with joy. It's wonderful. That is talking about kingdom joy. In fact, God himself is a happy God. He is a God who is full of joy. God is not a faraway looking person with a faraway look in himself. God is happy. Is a happy God. That is why his children must be full of what? Kingdom joy. What kind of happiness is in God? It's a happiness that comes by the kingdom. I will explain that to you. But God is a happy God. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and then verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. Please understand from today that the Ten Commandments, the law, 613 laws in the Bible given to the Jewish people, is not for you if you are righteous. The Bible says it clearly that the law, it is referring to the law of Moses. The law is not for righteous people. Do you know how you become righteous? By taking Jesus' righteousness. He was made sin that we will be declared the righteousness of God in him. If you are born again, you are a righteous person and the law is not for you. There is a higher law. It belongs to the kingdom. It doesn't belong to the laws that tells you eat this, don't eat that. You are living, you are reducing yourself to a religious life. It has a semblance of what is in the kingdom, but it is not a good picture of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You have a higher law. You are prayed by higher principles belonging to the kingdom of God. So the Bible says that the law, knowing this, know this, that the law is not for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy, the profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, thank God, for liars, for perjured, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Underline blessed. The Greek word translated blessed there is the word happy. The glorious gospel. He says there is a sound doctrine which is according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel of Jesus, the dying of Jesus on the cross, it made God happy. It made God happy. Well, God is a happy God. And his ultimate is for us to share in his happiness, in his joy. God's ultimate is for us to share in his happiness. Matthew 25 verse 21, it tells us that the last reward God gives is to enter into the joy of the Lord. You remember that scripture? Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over what? Over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I will make you ruler. It should give you a picture that we are talking about a kingdom here. We are talking about you ruling as a king over here. It says, enter into the joy of your Lord. The best reward God gives is for you to have his joy. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.